Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Good morning, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, the Festivus for the rest of us. Whatever it is you celebrate, have a great one. Spend some time with your family. Be present, right? Enjoy the food and the beverages and the fun and the Santa Claus and all that good stuff this week. So, obviously, happy holidays to everybody out there. Derek Mason, 38-28, Titans lose yesterday. And I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling, boys. And I need help from the audience. I need help from Titans fans. I need help from all of you. I mean, I just need help in general, like across the board in life.
I think generally, we all do.
Yeah, like generally I need help, but like today I need more help than usual. And that's why I'm glad I have such good work partners here. Mm-hmm. My main guys, Derek Mason and Marquise Munson. Titans lose yesterday 38-28, and I don't care. I don't care, and I don't believe in moral victories. I don't think that there are such a thing as moral victories. Mm-hmm. But for the life of me yesterday, watching the game, throughout the game, fourth quarter of the game, after the game, the whole entire time I'm going, it's all good. It's all good. You got what you wanted for the third time in 3 years, a win, and you're in situation mm-hmm. in week 17. And it was that way before the game started because the Houston Texans clinched the division.
Pittsburgh lost.
And Pittsburgh hadn't lost yet. Yeah. But you needed them to lose a game either mm-hmm. way. They had to lose a game in either week 16 or week 17, and you had to beat the Texans. So those two things had to happen no matter what. So as the Texans clinched the division on Saturday, I'm sitting there going, I wonder what this game is going to look like tomorrow on Sunday. Sure enough, we get the news. Derrick Henry, not going to play. I immediately said, they know this game doesn't mean as much as next week. They know it, because you would not rest Derrick Henry if this game was as important as next week. And they knew it. The coaching staff knew it. And as soon as I saw that Derrick Henry was out, I struggled watching the game, trying to get up mm-hmm. and, you know, pissed off or excited or whatever about anything I was seeing. And even then, without Derrick Henry, your best offensive weapon, you still were within 3 points of one of the best teams in the NFL in the fourth quarter yesterday without your best offensive weapon, maybe your most important player on the team. So that sounds like giving a moral victory to the Titans here. Help me out with this. Am I wrong to feel the way I feel about the game yesterday?
I mean, I get why you feel the way you feel, because
no Adoree Jackson.
Because I mean, there was under this scenario, the scenario that they're in, the game that they had to win was the last game of the season. They had to win that game, so I understand why you were in that state of mind. Where, you know what, Derrick Henry's not playing, Adoree Jackson's not playing, Houston's clinched a division. This game really, in the big scheme of things, don't mean anything, because the only thing they got to do next week is win. But here is where it all stops. Houston is not going to want to play Tennessee no way, no how, in no form or no fashion in the playoffs.
Which means they would want
they're
to
going
lose.
To try. No, they're going to try. They don't want to see them in the playoffs, period.
Well, yes. But
they're going to play their guys, because they still have an opportunity to that it can flip with them and
Kansas City.
If
they win and Kansas City lose, and this is going to happen a lot today on the show, uh-huh. okay? And a lot on this week on the show is the what-if situation,
exactly.
right? Like, that's what we're all doing right now in the NFL across the board. It's what Cowboys and Eagles fans are doing right mm-hmm. now. You know, as a Packers fan against the Vikings tonight, they could win the division tonight and be a 2 seed, or they could mm-hmm. lose and have to play, like, on the road against a really tough team. You know, like, the NFC's wide open. Everybody's doing this across
exactly.
the NFL. Everybody. If the Texans win and the Chiefs lose, they go to a 3 seed and they would play probably the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can lose to the Titans and be a 4 seed and play the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Steelers-Bills, if you're choosing between those two, you want the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. But if the Chiefs win, they have the division.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could be stuck playing the Titans, in theory. So like,
exactly.
Like, if you can get to the 3 seed, you might have to play the Titans. Like, it's a roundabout thing. So the question is, do you want to face the Bills or do you want to face the Steelers? And I get what you're saying. I'd rather face the Steelers. I think the team you least line of face is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, of course. Because
the Chiefs are going to want to win.
This team, they match up very well with you. Obviously, the X factor is Deshaun Watt. It's the two quarterbacks. And we understand, you know, at times Deshaun Watson can look like, you know, Superman. And then at times he can look like Clark Kent walking about the city. And not necessarily doing a bad job, but man, he's just lethargical and it just seems like he's not really into the game. And then all of a sudden he has to go jump in the phone booth, pull off his blazer and then become Superman at the end of the game.
Fancy glasses.
Exactly. What
if you're Andy Reid? If you're the Chiefs, wouldn't you want to lose then and face the Bills and not the Titans?
No, I wouldn't want to face the Bills.
Is that the Titans?
Yeah, the Bills defense. The Titans defense is still beat up.
They're still beat up.
I wouldn't want to face the Bills because the Bills right now, that game against New England, that was a hard-fought game. And it could have won either way. Either way, the Bills are healthy.
So if you're Andy Reid and you're the Chiefs,
I do not want to face.
You're Andy Reid and the Chiefs. You just lost to the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
You lost to the Titans in the playoffs a couple years ago. The Bills can't really score. Now, mm-hmm. they can play great defense. You're telling me you'd rather play, if you're the Chiefs and you're mm-hmm. Andy Reid, you'd rather play the Bills than the Titans right now today with Derrick Henry, assuming Derrick Henry is fully healthy.
Yeah, because I know the Bills can't score. And if I get at least two or three, I'm gonna get at least two or three touchdowns on that defense.
So if you're the Chiefs, why not lose the game intentionally then? Rest all your guys, and then the Texans.
Yeah.
You
got a point.
Then the Texans would have to play the Titans because again, the Titans can still get in even with a loss.
Yeah, right.
The Titans can get in with a loss.
I would rather play a beat up Tennessee team in a secondary than a fully healthy Bills team.
Well,
that makes it very difficult for you to score, even though I still believe Kansas City could score on them, but it would be very – and then you're talking about the next game after. They will beat you up.
Yeah, and the next one –
that team will beat you up, and then they will set you up to lose the next game.
Yeah, and the next one is the next round, people were tweeting me about that yesterday, and I'm not going to go that far yet. Once you get to the second round of the NFL playoffs, you're playing a great team. Anybody that's got to buy is a great team. You don't want to go to New England. You don't want to go to Baltimore. Both of those suck. So, again, the loss yesterday, we'll talk about the game, but as a 38-28 loss to the Saints, without Adoree Jackson, without Derrick Henry, you know, they're resting their guys that were banged up, obviously knowing that they have to win against Houston. And the bottom line is if you beat Houston, you get into the playoffs, period, end of discussion. The Steelers gave you what you needed yesterday. They fall to the Jets. And so there's two different ways we can look at this. To me, the reason I don't like moral victories, but the reason I struggled looking at yesterday and trying to get outraged or upset or whatever, you went against... They're the second seed in the NFC right now, the Saints. They're 12-3. They're one of the best teams in the league. They have one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game with a receiver that's having the best season maybe of all time. And you were within 3 points without your best offensive player in the fourth quarter. So to me, I'm sitting there going, you know what? Without Derrick Henry and Adoree Jackson, I'm pretty proud of that effort yesterday. There's a million things we could talk about, right? We could talk about...
Oh, we got a million things to talk about with that team.
But like... In the big
picture.
But they
did what we said on Friday it was going to be a shootout, sort of a shootout. I thought it was going to be a shootout.
And without Derrick Henry, I'm like, you know what? If with Derrick Henry, they probably win that game. With Adoree Jackson, they probably win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm coming away from it going, all right, it didn't really matter in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really matter to your playoff chances. And without one of your best offensive players, maybe your most important player on the team, you still... played a pretty darn good football game. Now, again, lots of things we can discuss. You know, some guys had good games, some guys had bad games. There's concerns about the offensive line, right? There's lots of questions. But I come away from that game going, man, you didn't have Derrick Henry. You're within 3 points of one of the best teams in the NFL in the fourth quarter, and it didn't matter in the standings. And I had a very hard time getting over that equation to try to come in here and be like, they got to do this better, and they got to do that better, and they got to act like Stillman. And I come out of there going, None of it mattered. You played pretty well without Derrick Henry. Go beat Houston on the road, and you're in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but they can't. I mean, going back to these other teams, Kansas City they have the potential to get up to a 2 seed, but they have to have New England lose and them win. So Andy Reid's going to come out and want to win that game because he wants that first round bye. So we can kind of X that off. I don't know if Houston, does Houston want to play the Titans again? Do they want to let Pittsburgh into the playoffs? You got to hope that the Baltimore hate is so much that they will play their starters and they will win that game against Pittsburgh.
I would play Lamar Jackson for a handoff. A handoff.
The hate is real.
I don't know, because Mark Ingram got hurt yesterday too.
If I'm the Ravens, they've clinched the number one seed. Uh-huh. They're the one seed in the AFC. They have home field advantage throughout. There's literally nothing for them to play for.
You're right.
And I'd probably want Pittsburgh in the playoffs, frankly. To your point, they're the team that no one thinks can win a game, mm-hmm. right? Great defense, but no offense whatsoever. If I'm the Ravens, I am playing Lamar Jackson to hand the ball off on first down and then pulling him so fast, his head spins. I put him on the bench after one handoff. A la Peyton Manning. You know, Colts would do that occasionally. Mm-hmm.
So basically, the Titans, the ball is in your court. You win, Pittsburgh win. What is it? If you win and Pittsburgh win, does Pittsburgh go?
No, Titans have the Titans win the game, breaker. They're in.
So Pittsburgh, you just got to win. If you win, you're in.
There's one other team. Obviously, the Raiders are still technically alive as well. Marquise has got a couple fist pumps back there.
Uh-huh. Lots got to happen. 10 things had to happen. Uh-huh. 5 things happened yesterday.
But here's also what could happen in the final week of the regular season. So the Titans still have the tiebreaker over the Steelers, even if they lose. Mm-hmm. So if the Titans and Steelers both lose, and they're both tied at 8-8, the Titans still go. Uh-huh. So the Titans are in good shape because they needed the Steelers to lose. We got that yesterday with the Steelers losing to the Jets. So now the tiebreaker between the Jets and the Steelers and the Titans goes the Titans' way, mm-hmm. whether they're 9-7 or 8-8. The problem is if it's a 3-way tie with the Colts and the Colts win, who have been eliminated from the playoffs, but can finish tied with them with 8-8, the tiebreaker becomes a head-to-head record, which means then the Steelers have the tiebreaker. So the Titans also would need the Colts to lose next weekend. And then if everybody loses and the Raiders win, I think then the Raiders can get
in,
too.
There's too much going on.
Win the game, and you get in.
That's the Titans, that's their main goal and focus. They can't worry about if Pittsburgh loses, if Indy loses, if Oakland loses, or if Oakland chooses to leave and go to Vegas and don't even play the game. They can't worry about any of that stuff. The only thing they need to worry about is winning their game in Houston. And judging – And I'm saying this because we're going to really get into it. And judging by the way they played yesterday without Derrick Henry, they won't win. Derrick Henry must be 100%. We can't see the Derrick Henry we saw in the first match against Houston.
Right.
Because if we do, right. Houston's going to do the same thing that they did in the first match. They're not going to respect the run to the point where they got to start putting that eighth man in the box. You saw what New Orleans did with Derrick Henry not being in the game. And we got a lot to talk about because there were some things that were exposed yesterday on offense. I'm talking about the offensive line, receivers, everything.
Yep, we got a lot to discuss. The refs were not very good yesterday either. Might have cost the Titans the game at the end of it and everything. So there's a lot to discuss about the game. My overall takeaway is you are now at a win and you're in situation in Week 17. Yesterday, from a factual standing standpoint, it didn't mean anything. But we do have a lot to break down because, again, there were issues, there were concerns, there were also some positives, but there were some concerns yesterday. How can you play like that and then beat the Texans? We'll find out. Mike Vrabel's decision on Derrick Henry when we return right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Let us know.
It's hard to get outraged about football decisions while listening to this. Like, how dare you rest Derrick Henry? Oh, such a good place to go.
Let it snow.
So Mike Vrabel there, of course, the decision about Derrick Henry not playing yesterday. When we got the news, I can't remember exactly what time it came down. It came down before the game, and we knew Derrick Henry was going to be out for the game. And I immediately thought, clearly, Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff and the medical staff value his presence in the lineup against the Texans in Week 17 more than they value it today. And that is a totally valid thing to think and feel as a coaching staff. You need Derrick Henry in Week 17 if you want to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. No matter what happened yesterday at Nissan Stadium, you need Derrick Henry against the Texans in Week 17. So the idea is by resting Derrick Henry yesterday, you give yourself a chance to beat the Texans next week with a healthy Derrick Henry. Now, this was Mike Vrabel after the game discussing whether or not that week off will actually help Derrick Henry, and will he be healthy?
First of all, nobody respects the effort that Derrick puts forward for this team, not only in a conditioning to get him his body right, to be a runner that can withstand the pounding of an NFL season. I fully understand what that toll and rigor is. You can only hope that it would help, and that's why we made the decision that we made.
All I needed to know. That is why we made the decision that we made. It can only help that he didn't have to play a game yesterday. So Derrick Henry will be as healthy as he can possibly be at this stage of the season going into the Texans game because they decided to rest him yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you could argue it might have cost you the game. With Derrick Henry, you're down by 3 in the fourth quarter. I don't know if Derrick Henry can play safety, linebacker, or corner because they could have used some of those yesterday as well. But it sure as heck would have helped the offense. And so I came away from yesterday thinking the strategy was the right strategy play from Mike Vrabel. Do you have a problem with them strategizing to put all of their eggs in the Houston Texans baskets with Derrick Henry?
Yes and no. Because here's the thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, if they would have won that game last night, Pittsburgh lost, then they're in.
No, they still have to beat the Texans.
They still have to beat the Texans.
Still got to beat the Texans. Because you can't go 1-1 with a loss in the AFC, because then the Steelers would have the tiebreaker.
Yeah. I'm looking at this game, and the minute I heard Derrick Henry wasn't playing, I text you guys. I said, this is going to show everybody whether Ryan Tannehill can carry the team or not.
I think I stole that and put it on Twitter because I know you won't get on Twitter.
No.
I can just take all your good takes and put them on Twitter.
And
I appropriated your takes there.
He had some. I mean, he didn't play bad, and he didn't play, he played good. He played good enough.
I feel comfortable with the way the offense played. If Khalif Raymond, who was knocked the bleep out yesterday on a long pass on the final possession for the Titans, if that play is called correctly, the Titans probably score and take the lead in the fourth quarter.
That what it could have been, I think that play was called correctly because
you're telling me that wasn't targeting.
No. They could have called that, but it was close because he hit him with the shoulder. But that's what they could have called. I thought you were talking
he
about
hit
whether
him right in the head.
I thought you were talking about whether it was
the
catch
fumble.
Or not.
Yeah.
That's what they could have called. He hit him right in the head. That's what they could have called a targeting. He didn't hit him with his helmet, but he hit him with his shoulder pad. And they could have called it targeting. I thought that's what they were going to call
it. How is it not targeting?
And they didn't call it. But then, because I had the TV turned down, and I was wondering whether they were going to call it a catch or not a catch. I'm saying if they wasn't going to call that a catch, I don't know what the catch is in the NFL. Yeah. But what you're saying is correct. Because I think
he hit him right in the head.
It's either like in the NFL, NFL or college. If any part of your body hits the helmet, it's a penalty.
I can hit you with a finger.
I know in college it's like that. If any part.
No, it is. Twitter exploded yesterday with how, like, everyone on Twitter, the national people, right? Uh-huh. They're going, look, guys, NFL, tell us what the hell is targeting. Because if that's not targeting, I don't know what the heck is.
The NFL doesn't know what targeting is. And the closer you get toward the end of the season, they're going to start pulling back on a lot of this stuff. Believe me, they do it every season. Here's the problem that I have. Both ways. One, pass defense. They can't. I mean, that was a one-man show, and they couldn't figure out how to stop one man. That was a complete, other than Jared Cook's touchdown, they had a matchup problem with Jared Cook, too. But the safety was exposed in covering tight ends. Kevin Byard was exposed covering Jared Cook, and Jared Cook is a good player, not a great player, a good player. That secondary was exposed without Adoree Jackson. Yeah. They couldn't cover one guy.
No, defense was.
It was one guy that basically dismantled you in a secondary. One guy, 11 catches, 130 some yards, and a touchdown. You can't allow that to happen one guy.
Well, and even the second touchdown, you know, Byard's like right in the position to make the play.
Yeah, you got it.
And just can't make the play by a fingertip, basically.
You, this team, I don't know what it was. Maybe they just thought in their mind the only game we got to get is the Pittsburgh game. But the offensive line was exposed.
Yeah, they weren't
the
good.
The secondary was exposed without Adoree Jackson.
Not good.
And the receivers, as much as – and Sharp played really well. That's the one guy that stepped up and played really well. But the other two, Davis had some good catches.
Well, and they targeted Davis a few times because they knew Marshawn. So Marshawn Lattimore, one of the best corners in the NFL, was shadowing A.J. Brown the entire game,
which is
a sign of a lot of respect.
But this is where I say there can't be no inconsistent play. When you're playing against good defensive backs, you got to play against good defensive backs like you play against a subpar, because the last 3 weeks they've been going against subpar defenses, secondaries. And this was the game that I wanted to see the big fella go out there and dominate.
This is a 12-3 team. Brown. This is a great Saints team.
Yeah, but this is the guy this was my measuring stick for him. Now, he's still going to – I think he's going to be a really good pro moving forward. But this was a measuring stick for me for him. How do you play against not a top-notch corner. He's probably that second tier.
He's pretty good, though.
Yeah, he's probably there's five, and then he's probably that next five in Lattimore. How do you play against Lattimore? And he completely, other than the last play, which was a great catch by him over the shoulder, that's a hard catch to make.
And he also had a couple of catches called back with penalties early in the game. So he was targeted. Like, they made a big deal out of this in the fourth quarter. Like, oh,
he hasn't been targeted. The screenplay.
Yeah, like, he hasn't been targeted one time all game. Well, like, technically that's true because he had, like, two catches called back by penalties.
Which one? I know the screenplay was called back.
It was very, very early. And again,
I didn't see, like, the beginning
one
of the game.
One or two of them. Again, not more than that. But the point is that Lattimore did a pretty good job on him. His one big play, of course, was a 49-yard rushing attempt where he ran the little end-around sort of. It was like a jet sweep end-around combo.
Yeah.
With a little pitch back there, and an explosive, excellent play by him to get into the end zone. The Derrick Henry thing, as we started this, I feel like it's still the right move to rest him for week 17.
It was the only move you can make.
I totally agree, and to see this team with all of their flaws and all of their missing pieces still be within three, and Khalif Raymond catching a football, and if he gets the point, the reason I brought that up is that even with all of the issues we're about to talk about next segment, because there are some major ones, even with all those issues, I still am sitting there going, well, if they called the targeting play the right way, they're probably down on the 15-yard line, down by three, with a couple minutes to go in the game with a chance to take the lead. And that, to me, to say that team, without Adoree Jackson, Derrick Henry, et cetera, and the way they played on the offensive line and in the defense, to still be in that situation, I came away with it thinking, and again, I'm sorry, Titans fans, if you want to be outraged today, you can call in and tweet in and text in, and you can be outraged. I am not outraged. The game didn't mean anything as far as getting into the playoffs go, and you went toe-to-toe with a pretty good team with some glaring weaknesses and people out, and you still came away, you know, playing a pretty decent game. Now, there are issues that mean you might not beat Houston, right? And there are two major ones, and you've already brought them up, the secondary and the offensive line. So I want to get into that because Taylor, Lewan, dude, seriously, that there were a couple of plays where it was just god-awful yesterday. Not just Taylor, but the offensive line as well across the board. So I want to know who you're more worried about, the secondary or the offensive line, because the Saints abused both of those yesterday, and we'll get to that when we come back. Right here, Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. What are you more concerned about, the offensive line or the secondary? We'll get to that in just a second. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Munson back there producing. Happy holidays to everybody out there. The Texans-Titans game, I believe, has been flexed into the 3:25 Central Time kickoff spot, and the Chiefs-Chargers will be at noon. So, in theory, if you're plotting out all of these different scenarios for the Titans, again, winning, you're in, bottom line, number one. But the Texans, for example, will know when the kickoff takes place against the Titans whether or not they can improve their stock or not, meaning move up to the 3 seed. They'll be locked in as the 4 seed, which means they will know when the start of the game happens whether or not they should – Bill O'Brien will know whether or not he should rest his best players because they're just basically the 4 seed and it doesn't matter – they're going to play the Bills no matter what. So if they are locked into that 4 seed and the Chiefs win the game at noon against the Chargers, the Texans won't have anything to play for. So that could actually help the Titans in some way, shape, or form. There's still other things that can happen, mm-hmm. right? The Colts could lose. If the Colts lose and the Steelers lose and the Titans lose, the Titans don't get in. If the Steelers and, there's a lot of different, they can't be in a tiebreaker with the Colts. I just messed that up. So
that is just the wackiest thing.
It's very complicated.
The NFL, yes. I think this is great for Titans and Titan fans, but I think the NFL messed up on this one. Because I think if they wanted to have the best game,
I'm assuming it's the TV partners.
Yeah, I think if they wanted to have the best game, they put both of these teams on at the same time, or they flip them and still make the Titans the national game, so to speak, at noon. Because then, if the Titans win, whoever wins the first game, then the next game, the next team has to play. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kansas City.
You want
would
them
have
at the same
play.
Time?
I want to see. I want to get the best out of all four teams.
You'd put them on at the same time
exactly,
if you wanted
yeah.
that.
I would want the best out of each of the four teams. But be it May, they flex it out, which is great for Titans and Titan fans because they will already know whether, win or lose.
Wouldn't that affect your decision if you're Bill O'Brien? If you know you're the four seed no matter what,
of
and
course.
You're locked into the four seed, why would you run Deshaun Watson out there? More than for a couple of series, just to get him lathered up, get him some reps, and get him out of there.
I don't see them holding him out is because you don't want to go into the playoffs, basically having a game off and then being rusty for the next game. If this game is, at halftime and the Titans are up 14 points somewhere around there, then I'm pulling them. If it's a close game, I'm keeping them in. If we're up, 14 points, I'm pulling them. It all depends on what is happening in the moments of the game. I just don't want to fall. I just don't want to at the beginning just pull Deshaun Watson and say no, because then he has basically a whole week. He's going to have 2 weeks without doing anything basically, and that team can't afford. I don't think this is a team that can afford to rest guys and then come in the next game and, play as if they're one of the top teams. They can't do that. One, because their offensive line is subpar. Their running game is pretty good, but, versus the Titans, the Titans match up very well with them. I would rather have my quarterback going to the game, having played majority of the game, and then either I'm pulling him because we're losing, or I'm pulling him because we're winning.
I just fall on the very, very, very conservative side of this.
Like, don't get hurt.
If there's literally nothing for me to accomplish, Deshaun Watson has like three torn ACLs in his career, but going back to college,
I don't think Bill O'Brien's going to think like that. I think they're going to say, let's go try to win a game and keep momentum going, because I think momentum is real in the NFL.
Already, Ian Rappaport just 5 minutes ago reporting that Will Fuller will not play in Week 17 against the Titans. His groin injury will keep him off the field. There's a chance he could be ready to go for their playoff game, but that's already a sign right there. That they're going to err on the side of caution. So Will Fuller not going to play next week.
Guys that are already injured, they're going to pull them. Yeah,
just like Derrick Henry yesterday.
Exactly.
So there is plenty of quote unquote moral victory to take away from playing the Saints yesterday. The actual loss doesn't actually do anything to their playoff chances. They had to beat the Texans in Week 17, no matter what. Now they are facing a win and you're in situation, as we sort of all expected. The Steelers did what we needed, and they fell to the Jets yesterday. Thank you, Adam Gase and your weird eyeballs. Here's the deal. There are still some major concerns about this team, namely the offensive line giving up, six sacks. Taylor Lewan on a few plays, didn't even look like he was trying on a couple of those plays. And then the secondary could not cover Michael Thomas, could not cover Jared Cook. Alvin Kamara broke loose for a couple of big plays. There are still major concerns with this team on defense because they could not get stops. The Saints' final possessions, here's just their second-half possessions. 2 plays, 61 yards, touchdown. 9 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. 5 plays, 52 yards, touchdown. Then they had a 3-and-out. Then they had the fake punt. Then they went 6 plays, 25 yards, and a touchdown. You didn't get stops. Does that remind you of anything? It reminds me of the Texans game last week, where in the fourth quarter, you couldn't get stops. So the offensive line of the secondary, which one are you more concerned about, Derek?
I'm more concerned because Houston's
or
front seven.
Or is the answer
seven,
just yes?
The Houston front. I'm a little concerned. If indeed they, you know, win and make it to the playoff, that's where I will be more concerned. But right now, right, against Houston, I'm not as concerned with the offensive line because Houston's front seven is not, you know, they're not world beaters. I'm concerned with the secondary. Michael Thomas was targeted 77% of the time. 70, he had 17 targets. Everybody else together, I think, was like 22.
And I think only one of them was like more than, yes, 15 yards down the field.
He was targeted 77% of the time. And you couldn't stop him. That's a glaring concern. I mean, a real, like, red flags are just going off. Like, to me, I don't understand. You do what you need to do versus Hopkins until the end of the game when you had to play man-to-man. And you couldn't implore that same defense versus Michael Thomas? Maybe because Michael Thomas moves a lot within their offense. But I know going into the game, that's the one guy they had to be targeting. Because nobody other than Jared Cook, nope.
Jared Cook killed him too.
Tyson Hill, Tre'Quan Smith.
Yeah, I don't even know who that guy is.
Keyshawn Hogan.
What?
Ted Ginn Jr.
There we go.
Dustin Hardy. Dante Harris. Who in the hell are these people?
You know Ted Ginn at least.
Yeah, I know Ted Ginn. But who are the hell are these other guys?
Yeah, I'm with you, dude.
You let one guy beat you. You knew where Breeze was going just about 77% of the time he was going to this guy.
That's a lot of throws.
And you could not – that's the concern. You could not stop him. Even the contested ones, you could not stop for the most part.
You remember Mike Evans?
Mm-hmm.
What did he have, like 9 catches for like 198 yards or like 11 catches for like 198 yards, 2 touchdowns against mm-hmm. his team like 2 months ago, right when the Tannehill era began?
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans. The last two games to number one receivers, Nuke Hopkins and Michael Thomas, the last 2 weeks, 18 catches, 255 yards and a touchdown in the last two games. Hopkins went for 6 for 119. Thomas went 12 for 136. He did set the all-time single-season receptions record, which is an amazing thing to see.
Exactly.
Like Nissan Stadium had a lot of records going on yesterday at that stadium. 12 catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown. They still had a chance to stop him too. If they could have held him to a field goal on that final possession, they still could have had a chance to come down and maybe win the game. But you have not been able to stop a number one wide receiver pretty much at any point during the season, especially since the secondary's been hurt. I'm with you. The Texans do not have the pass rush, I don't believe, to take advantage of the Titans' offensive line issues in Week 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the secondary is the bigger concern. I don't know if you can fix either one. I think if Jackson comes back, Adoree Jackson comes back,
it makes it better.
Certainly helps. I still think I like the Titans' chances to go down to Houston and play well because I don't think the Texans are going to have anything to play for. But that is a different subject altogether. So, like you said, I'm worried about all of this stuff once you're in a playoff game with the Kansas City Chiefs,
exactly,
which is likely where you would go. If you beat the Texans and you get in and you're the sixth seed, you're going to play Kansas City. Maybe there's an off chance you could play New England, but it's likely going to be Kansas City. And Patty Mahomes lit you up for 450 about a month ago. So I would be concerned about the secondary. The pass rush there also could be an issue too.
Yeah, it could be. The Titans were able to get 3 sacks yesterday with their pass rush. They pressure Breeze a little bit.
Welcome, Derek Roberson, baby.
Yes.
Welcome.
So they played well in the first half. Now, the second half, it was a different story. They didn't play as well in the second half as far as getting to the quarterback. They allowed Alvin Kamara to hit a big one on him for 40 yards. So the rush defense was good, but then once he got that 40-yarder, it makes it look like, you know, it tells a different story if you didn't watch the game. But for the most part, I think the rush defense did a pretty good job. It's the pass defense and the pressures or sacks on the quarterback, especially in the second half, because they didn't get much in the second half in regards to getting to Drew Brees and getting him on the ground. Now, the first half, they played lights out. It seemed like they were confusing him. You can see he was visibly upset with his receivers at times in the first half because I think, you know, Dean Pease was throwing things at him that he probably hadn't really seen. But then they went back in They regrouped. They made some adjustments, and you saw a different New Orleans team come out in the second half.
Titans lose 38-28 yesterday at Nissan Stadium. Doesn't really matter, though, folks. And you guys tell me if I'm wrong. 615-737-1025. You can call us. You can text us. You can tweet us. Cedric's going to be first up when we come back. I'd like to know if I'm wrong for just not being really that upset at all with yesterday and just being like, look, it doesn't matter. All the eggs are in the Texans' basket anyway. That's why Mike Vrabel didn't play Derrick Henry. It's why Adoree Jackson probably didn't play from the beginning of the week. They announced that, I think, on Friday after the show. We were off the air when that had happened. What do you guys think? You guys tell me if I'm wrong. Cedric, you'll lead us off when we come back. Also, Preds get a huge win in overtime against the Boston Bruins. They take 7 out of 8 points on the road trip over the weekend. And that was a huge – Roman Josi is doing just magical things right now for the Nashville Predators as he's carrying this team to victory, stealing the puck from goaltenders and stuff. Just a ridiculous couple of nights for Yos. But Titans fans, are you feeling good about yesterday? Is there moral victories? Do you care? Obviously, it's a loss to Drew Brees, but you're in the driver's seat, folks. You got what you needed. The Steelers lost, and now it's winning. You're in for the second year in a row. So 615-737-1025 or the text line as well. We'll get to all your thoughts when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Happy holidays, everybody. It's very hard to be outraged about a football game when you're listening to Christmas music.
You're doing that on purpose. I know, trying to diffuse.
You're trying to diffuse the funk.
Well, dude, I don't even have any funk. And I feel like Titans fans.
Some funk, man.
I ain't got no funk.
You only get one time a year where you get to play these songs. Because it just sounds weird. I mean, you could play this in July.
You could play it in June.
Hey, you know what?
I could.
My wife and I will put on the John Legend Christmas record in July. Fine with us.
It don't matter, man.
If it works, it works, boys. Cedric the man. Cedric, what's up, dude?
What's happening, man? Listen, I'm not concerned with the secondary. We don't have any of our starters playing. There's an all-time great quarterback on the other side that's making checks to their right throws. They did a great job of scheming Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas and Evans together.
Michael yeah. Rice, I believe, is the last name.
You know, but putting him in the slot and having linebackers guard him, man, genius by Sean Payton. But listen, man, Taylor Lewan, if you're listening right now, my name is Cedric, and I'm speaking directly to you. You got worked yesterday, dude, and the Tennessee Titans have a history of great offensive line play. Brad Hopkins, Michael Roos, Runyon, all those guys. You are the highest paid offensive tackle in the NFL, and you're getting into Twitter wars with the dude from the Bucs early in the season, and you want to talk trash to him. Now, this is week 16, and after the game, you're talking about, well, next week we'll be better. Dude, we need you to be better right now, dude. Our offensive line is terrible. Ben Jones gets called for a holding call when we're starting to get some momentum. Deion Lewis is running the ball well, and this is a basic stretch play where he can't get his head on the right side and has to hold the guy. I mean, something's got to be done with these offensive tackles that we have. Your boy on the other side, 78 Conklin, he got work yesterday. Our tackles are not good against great pass rushers, and that has to be addressed. Now, I will say this, and this is way too early to be talking about the draft, but please, John Robinson, go get Ruggs. Go get Ruggs. We need Ruggs. Please, go get him to get with AJ.
First of all, great call, Cedric. I'll say this. Somebody else, another buddy of mine, a Titans fan or family member, came over yesterday. Some family came over to see the girls, and he was like, well, you know, he goes to TCU, and he's like, Jalen Reagor, man, you got Titans need to look at Jalen Reagor. He's a really good wide receiver prospect out of TCU. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but it's the second time in like 2 days someone's told me the Titans need to go get a receiver, and I'm going, Wait a second. The receiving core is not the problem. A.J. Brown is going to be Rookie of the Year. Corey Davis is still a nice player on a young contract. They just signed Adam Humphries for $36 million. He's injured right now. You've got Jonnu Smith, who looks like the truth at tight end. Like,
well, they still need one.
You know who you need? Someone who can block.
Yeah, they still need
they need
one
someone
receiver.
Who can block. And this is a great offensive line class, so it's funny Cedric ended with that. He's right about Lewan and Conklin, though, Derek. Like, and even Lewan was tweeting about it yesterday, again, because – you know, people are posting where it was DeMario Davis, I believe, right? That just sort of
breathed
on him, and he fell on his backside.
They worked
him
the second half.
He got abused on a few plays, and that's not normal. So he's even tweeting like, hey, we got to be better. We got smoked. And it's like, well, that's fine. That's nice, Taylor, that you're saying all that. And I'm not just picking on Taylor here. I think it's the whole offensive line. But without Derrick Henry,
They get exposed.
They get exposed. And that, like, Tannehill, you got to give credit to Tannehill. Now, okay, here's the other thing.
He did hold on to the ball. He held onto the ball. But
at least two or three of those sacks are on him. So but, they're not all on the offensive line.
But like Vrabel said, that's why I can't wait to see the All-22. Sometimes it's on a quarterback, sometimes it's on the offensive line, sometimes it's on a receiver.
Yep.
Judging by listening to the commentators, they're watching it, and they're saying nobody's getting open.
I'm not sure I would judge anything on the commentators yesterday, though.
And they
were bad.
And that right there is an indictment when you have guys playing man-to-man across the board. Yep. You got to get separation. Yep. But in regards to what Taylor Lewan was talking about, Herb, we'll get to you in a second. We play bad, we'll get it together. Well, maybe you will get it together, not because you've gotten better, because you're facing a team in the Texans who can't rush the pass.
And Derrick Henry might be back.
Let's just look at the teams you've played on this win streak before you lost to the Texans the first time. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're okay.
You're talking pass rush.
Yeah, pass rush.
Yeah.
Jaguars, we know they're just done. They were just done. I don't even count. Even with Calais Campbell, they're supposed to have a good front, but they really don't because that team's done. The Colts, no. The Raiders, no. The Texans, no. The Saints, yes. So here's what it is. When you play against good defensive lines, you don't do well.
In pass protection.
Now, in run protection, they're great. In pass protection. So what I'm seeing is it was just like we took a Band-Aid and we put it over a sore that needed stitches or a cut that needed stitches. We put a Band-Aid over it, stopped the bleeding, and then, oh boy, somebody ripped that Band-Aid off 6 weeks later and the blood started gushing out. They don't have time to stitch this thing up. But luckily for them, they're playing the Houston Texans, whose pass rush isn't good.
And here's the other angle to pass protection that helps you out. They lost to Carolina, 39 pass attempts for Ryan Tannehill. They lost to the Texans, 36 pass attempts for Ryan Tannehill. You beat the Chiefs with 19 pass attempts from Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. You beat the Jags with 18 pass attempts. You beat the Colts with 27 pass attempts yesterday. When he's up over 25, 26, 27 pass attempts, you're giving the defense far more opportunities. You're in passing situations. That is not the way this team is successful. This team is successful. Now, unfortunately, they were up 14-0 yesterday, yeah, and they should have been leaning on Derrick Henry, but he wasn't there for him. So, again, once again, it points to Derrick Henry.
You're right. And if I'm Derrick Henry, and this is just a side note, if I'm his agent.
My agent knows all this stuff.
If I'm Derrick Henry's agent, yeah, I just added a couple more dollars to that contract. That's what I did yesterday.
10 and a half. We're up to 11. Do I hear 11? Going once? Going twice? Herb wants to chime in. Herb, what's up, man?
Well, first I got to tell you that the Titans are my second favorite team. My favorite team my whole life has been the Saints. But I want to tell you, I thought the Titans played pretty damn well. What the Saints did to their secondary and what the Saints defensive line did to the offensive line of the Titans, they've done to just about every team that they've played this year. So I thought they were pretty awesome. I was watching that game and thinking, if the Titans get in the playoffs, they're gonna give somebody a hard time. So I'm a little less hard on them than some of the other guys.
I understand.
I feel the same way about the Titans yesterday.
I don't, because it's from a secondary standpoint, and you know, our callers, they're not too concerned about the secondary. But let me remind you, they gave up 319 yards to the Indianapolis Colts without T.Y. Hilton, without their other starting tight end. They basically had three guys on that field that nobody really even seen before. And they allowed the quarterback to put up over 300 yards. You can't say that's because they didn't have their starters, because I believe Dory Jackson was playing in that game. But after that game, I think that's when he started to get a
– I think that's – yeah.
Yeah, he started to kind of – things started to kind of go downhill for him. They gave up almost 300 yards to Derek Carr. It's a concern.
Yeah.
They don't have marquee receivers, okay? They gave up – how many yards did they give up against the Texans the first – the first
only 234, but it But
yeah, 243.
They didn't stop the
9
pass.
Yards a attempt.
Yeah, they did not stop the pass in the fourth quarter at all. When they needed to get stops,
exactly.
Hopkins and Watson made plays.
This is the concern. It's not that, oh, it's Sean Payton and he's done this to everybody. Like I tell my son, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care that everybody else got a C in the class. I don't care if the teacher's tough with everybody else. You need to be the exception, not the norm.
Yeah. Rivers went for 326. Jameis Winston went for 283. Patrick Mahomes went for 433. I mean,
this is a concern. Yeah, that secondary is a concern moving forward. So if Adoree Jackson can't play, I think a lot of it started when Malcolm Butler went down. But when if Adoree Jackson is not 100%, they're going to have problems moving forward. That's why I'm so concerned.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about the secondary than I am the offensive line in this game in particular.
There's two very different ways to look at yesterday. 38-28 loss for the Titans against the Saints at home in Nissan Stadium. One is the game literally didn't mean a single thing for your playoff hopes. And they rested Derrick Henry because of that. They didn't risk Adoree Jackson because of that. And they still played pretty well, pretty valiantly, down three. And if a bad targeting penalty should have been called against Khalif Raymond's hit in the fourth quarter, late in that game, down three, there's a good chance they go down the field and at least tie the game or win the game. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is all of the glaring issues that we think are wrong with this team that's made them a potential 8-8 team are the same issues that could be a problem against the Texans and or a playoff team moving forward. The offensive line, the secondary, and special teams. They couldn't cover a kick yesterday to save their lives either.
Oh, no. That was exposed yesterday.
So do you see it? Those are the two ways you can look at the game. And maybe some people are in the middle, and they look at it both ways, and that's probably smart. I just come away from it going, you know what? You're in a playoff game next week, folks. You changed your quarterback. You've got your secondary's banged up. Your offensive line's terrible, and your star running back's out for the game, and you got a chance to make the playoffs. Glass half full, baby. It's the Christmas spirit, all right? Corey Curtis will tell us his take. Where does he fall on that spectrum from News 2 when we come back right here at Morning Drive ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.